Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Louis DiBiase here and Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles. Now on with the show. Welcome in, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase here, joined by my co-host Gino Camilleri. I'm back on the show, back from vacation. It was a nice week to relax, and thanks again to Gino and our other buddy Lars Lewis, who comes on the show a lot, for stepping in on Monday. You can go check out that podcast, or yesterday we had a really powerful episode. Eight of our hosts on the Locked On Podcast Network did a special hour and a half long show, and it's going to be on every single Locked On podcast that you subscribe to on any platform, talking about what it's like to be a black man living in America today. Really powerful, really important message and episode that we wanted to get out there as a network. So if you're subscribed to Locked On Eagles, or, you know, Locked On NFL, Locked On NFL Draft, that's up there as well. So we got two episodes done this week already. Coming up on today's edition of the show, me and Gino are going to get into wide receiver three. So I think the consensus, Gino, and we'll get more into in segments two and three, but right now the understanding is DeSean Jackson's your wide receiver one this year, not your top target. I think obviously that's Zach Ertz, Miles Sanders, DeSean, Dallas Goedert, but at wide receiver, like, you know, it's going to be Jackson, and it's going to be first round pick Jalen Reagor as two of your starters. As for wide receiver three, though, I don't know. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Marquise Goodwin, you know, of course, Greg Ward. We'll get into that coming up on today's edition of the show, who we think and who we want to end up winning that job. But before we get into that, Gino, I thought it's a good timely episode to do, because Carson Wentz is down in Houston building chemistry with Jalen Reagor. He's throwing to Quez Watkins, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and Greg Ward. And, man, I think that's so important. I think chemistry is so big for a quarterback and his targets, especially when they're guys that young. Like, to get that going now is huge.
I've said it for the past couple years that how long have I wanted Carson Wentz to have somebody that he could groom and kind of...
You've been saying that since, like, we started this show together in 20...
Yeah, I think it's one of the... Yeah, you could go back to one of the first shows I've ever done, and that's kind of something that I wanted, because you look around and you see the greats. I mean, look at Pittsburgh and everything that they've done, and they just continue to add good wide receiver after good wide receiver after good wide receiver. Look down in Atlanta, team that just went to the Super Bowl a few years back with Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley they add there. Aaron Rodgers has Devontae Adams there as well. So just getting somebody there that's young and getting them in, I think you can improve their development so drastically. Because, I mean, for example, look at Devontae Adams. I mean, he's a second-round pick. He had the whole skill set, but being with a good quarterback, being able to learn under him, learn the route recognition, learn the timing. I think that's huge, especially for a quarterback like Carson Wentz, who that's what a lot of his game is learning to get to those spots,
yep,
being in the right area at the right time. I think you look back to last season with Greg Ward, and one of the things they had on him was just his inability to understand just different markers throughout his route. And talking about how Carson Wentz has to trust you to be in an area because he's just so used to it. I mean, you hear about the greats just going through it in their mind. Like, when somebody's running a 9-yard out route, like, he knows where that guy's going to be. That's what you have to do with these wide receivers, and bringing them in now, bringing in such a talented, youthful group and seeing them all work together is exactly what you want the leader of your team to be doing right now.
You really read my mind, because I thought about that too with the type of quarterback Wentz is, right? He is a timing guy, so it's crucial to have players that, you know, they're just kind of on that same wavelength, right? Like Matt Ryan, mm-hmm, and Julio Jones are, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers was with Jordy Nelson and now Devontae Adams, and Tom Brady was with Rob Gronkowski. And Wentz, I mean, he's been like that with Zach Ertz, but he, like you said, he's never really had that guy to develop with that's going to be with him for, I mean, again, when you have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones playing with each other for a decade plus, they're going to have that chemistry. Wentz has that with Ertz. I think, and again, it shows how crucial building that chemistry is, because last year, just, I know it was only week one, but that chemistry with Wentz and DeSean Jackson, like, those two made an emphasis. Like, they really prioritized getting that down together throughout the offseason in training camp, and it was clicking instantly from the jump. So for Wentz to be able to do that now with all those young guys, including Greg Ward, who, yeah, Gino, down the stretch, he was the guy Wentz trusted the most as a former quarterback. Like you said, he was always in the right spots. He was a good route runner. He understood all of that because he did kind of think like a quarterback, right? He was a receiver that had the mindset of a quarterback. So, you know, building more chemistry with him and getting that down with new guys like Rager and Watkins and Whiteside. I mean, Rager and Whiteside might be two of the guys he's playing with for his entire career, hopefully, if all things go well. I mean, those are the two guys you took in the top two rounds of the past two drafts. So, you know, he did this in 2017 and 2018 as well, where they traveled away. And I think actually in 2016, too, they went to North Dakota and then Houston. So sometimes, you know, an Alshon Jeffrey doesn't show up last year, but I think it's crucial when it's two rookies, a second-year guy, and a guy in Greg Ward, who for the most part of his career has been a practice squad player.
I think bringing up Alshon Jeffrey kind of is a key cog here because it's a huge domino in deciding how this entire depth chart is going to play out at the wide receiver position, because like you and I both know, listening to Howie Roseman is the best thing you can do in football, because everything he says he's going to do, and he's spoken highly of Alshon this offseason, and he says that he is going to be part of their plans, so you cannot discount him. I mean, if they have him on the hook for this much money, I'm sure he is going to be on the field. Like, I don't see them either. One, he's going to be traded before he even sets foot on the field, or two, he's going to have to play for this team, because you're not just going to have a guy who was, I think it's 26 or some egregious number in dead cap this year. You're going to want him to play, and he could still perform at a decently high level. So if he falls into place as your wide receiver one, he's your true X. I think things could be a little smoother in the transition for a lot of these younger guys. But if you have to have Jalen Rager go out there and be your number two, which I don't think would be the worst thing, I just think it would take maybe 3 to 4 more games to get used to than having Alshon there right away.
Here's my thing with Alshon. I personally don't believe, I know Roseman said a lot of that. I think it's mostly because he is stuck with this contract unless he can trade it. And there was, to me, I think he's not in the plans unless, worst case scenario, right? Because Alshon, even if he's on the roster, again, if he's on the roster, because if there's a point where he gets healthy and another team is looking for a receiver, I think Howie Roseman would instantly take that deal to get that money off the books. Because even last year, I think it was week 4, Jeff McClain wrote a story last month or the month before that they were trying to trade Alshon. And ironically, it was right around the same time that anonymous source made those comments. So they were already looking to get rid of Jeffrey last year. Now this injury happens. So yes, will he be a part of the plans if he's on the roster? Maybe. Again, I think they're going to try to get out of that. If they're stuck, then that opens another scenario, because if they're stuck with him on the roster, then it comes down to, okay, let's say he's ready by week 6, 7, or 8. What's happening with those young guys? Is Jalen Rager as good as we would hope as a first-round pick? Did J.J. Arcega-Whiteside take that second-year jump? Because if J.J. improves, I'm not sure if Jeffrey even plays if he's on the roster, Gino. So I think there's a lot of different things that need to happen for Alshon to either be off the roster. Or, like you said, I mean, there's so many different scenarios. He could be your top receiver, one of your starters. He could be on the roster but not playing. Or he could be traded, you know, in general. So, to me, like, my guess would be that he is not one of the top three this year. But, you know, it's going to be tough for them. It's going to be tough for them to get off that deal. But even if that happens where they're stuck, I'm still hoping that, like, they don't have to go back to Jeffrey.
No, I totally agree. I think you want to keep looking towards the future, and I think you had the guys there. And trust me, I never sold my J.J. Arcega-Whiteside stock, say that 10 times fast, when everybody else did. Because I truly believe that he's in their plans, and they need an X receiver, man. And I believe Jalen Rager could get to that point eventually, but right now he's a move Y. He's somebody that you can just, or a move Z receiver that you can move all over the formation, get him in the slot, make him win with his separation ability at two-way goes. But right now, he's still unpolished. So you are going to have to throw JJ into the fire eventually. And I truly believe that having this full offseason is going to be huge for him. And I like the odds of him improving next year with a healthy DeSean Jackson on the field, with a burner like Jalen Rager, because he can now, like Zach Ertz and Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert, operate in those areas which he is supposed to, in those 8 to 12 yard areas where he can beat you with his physical ability and that's what JJ does. And I really think that with Jalen there, with Goodwin and Quez Watkins and Hightower, adding that speed will just be a huge benefactor for JJ. Somebody who never had the speed, and he won't be asked to do those things that they made him do last year when that wasn't his game. But he was needed by necessity. Yeah.
I do think that bringing in those speed guys, it's going to do a lot for JJ. It's going to do a lot for Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders. And that's why I was excited to do this with you, Gino, today, because I know you were huge on JJ Arcega-Whiteside when the Eagles, before they drafted him in the second round, coming out of Stanford, and even through all of his troubles last year, you've really been the guy, I think, on Eagles Twitter that has stood by him and still believes in him. So we got to hit one break, but coming up next, I want to get into Arcega-Whiteside. I want to get into Marquise Goodwin, Greg Ward. I want to talk about who we think. Because, again, right now, I think the safe bet, week one, DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, they are two of your starting wide receivers, regardless of where they're lined up on the formation. Like, those two are going to be on the field next year, if healthy and if performing. Who will be that third guy? Gino's already talked about JJ. I want to get more into him and the others coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. And we are sponsored today by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Louis DiBiase here alongside Gino Camilleri. All right, Gino, so we're getting into wide receiver three. Who is going to be that third starter next to DeSean Jackson, next to Jalen Reagor in 2020? You already started to talk about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and he's the guy I want to get into more now. Let's get more in depth with him in his rookie year. I think, and I think you agree, I know you agree, the Eagles are going to give him every opportunity to be that player, right? To be that third wide receiver. They drafted him in the second round, and while I'm going to be the devil on the shoulder today, you're going to be the angel. I want to say, before I go into why I'm concerned about JJ, I'm not giving up on him. I did that with Nelson Agholor, and while, yes, the majority of his career, he was not a good receiver for the Eagles. 2 years in, I thought they should cut him. And then in 2017, a Super Bowl season, he turns out an incredible year. So for me, like, before I do criticize Arcega-Whiteside, and Gino's the guy that's really going to defend him today, I want to say, though, I don't think that just based on 1 year that suddenly this guy's dead in the water and we should already give up on him. So that's the thing I want to say before we get into it. But, you know, I do agree with you that I think the Eagles are hoping he's the guy. I'm hoping he's the guy. And also, too, because he's a type of receiver that, outside of Alshon, who's injured, they really don't have a player that can high point the football like he can and be that physical style of receiver.
To me right now, it's good to be in my seat because the two guys that I've been highest on the last couple years, I would say, are Sidney Jones and JJ. And right now, they kind of have the cards in their hand. Like, Sidney Jones right now is probably the favorite to win the cornerback 2 job, in my opinion. And right now, JJ has all the cards to either be your number one, I mean, to an extent, your number one receiver. He's going to face a ton of press. He's going to be the guy to take that Alshon role. I mean, I think he has a good chance to at least be in, I think, now this wide receiver by committee for the slot position too, because you can roll 4 different guys through that slot position just based on matchups alone. I mean, you'll have DeSean, who excels in that area. You'll have Jalen Reagor, who excels in that area. Marquise Goodwin. And now you could throw JJ in there or even Greg Ward. I mean, sure, all those guys win in different ways. And they talk about that big slot, and exactly what they were looking at in that 2019 draft was that big slot position. We heard a lot about Deebo Samuel and Jalen Hurd at that spot, and they ended up going with JJ, and I really believe that this team wants to put him in a position to excel, and firmly, I believe he has it in his power to do that. And to me, the full offseason is huge. I know the Pac-12 has that weird thing, and they operate in trimesters, so like he always, all those guys always come late to training camps at OTAs, so that killed him last year. And I firmly believe that this is his time to win, because right now the team wants to move on from Alshon. We know that. They have no true number one at the moment. I mean, you drafted Jalen Reagor with the hopes that he can be that, but right now it's going to be competition galore at that wide receiver position, because looking at this depth chart, your number two in week 17 last year, being Deontay Burnett, is probably the 9th or 10th best wide receiver on this roster right now, which is saying so much to what Howie Roseman has done this offseason. And it just, I firmly believe that they can do a lot of the things that Doug wanted to do in a multitude of different ways. I think they were kind of just forcing a square peg in a round hole last year, trying to force the ball down the field without the guys that they really had. But now they can do that. And now you can play multiple different matchup-based players at the slot receiver position, have many guys be your Z and X receivers, just interchange them. I think it's going to be more a wide receiver by committee approach this year than anything we have seen with the running back by committee approach the last few years. Because right now, they just have a lot of 1B guys and 2A guys that need to go out and put together a 1A performance collectively.
No, I think that's a good point. I actually even wrote wide receiver by committee down on my notes today when thinking about this, because, again, I think Deshaun is going to be your top receiver with Jalen Reagor. And then I'm thinking, all right, yeah, like they're going to give every opportunity to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to be that player. And then I start thinking, like, well, how do they line them up? And to me, it's not going to matter. I don't think they're going to want a slot guy to win the job, right? Because DeSean Jackson's right. going to play inside at times. Jalen Reagor's going to do that. Your tight ends are going to do that. Your running backs, too, right? Miles Sanders, Boston Scott. Mm-hmm. You might want to go big slot with J.J. Greg Ward played inside primarily last year, so... Yeah, I'm with you, man. It might even be, again, I think Arcega-Whiteside is going to be the favorite just based on the value this franchise has placed in him. But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of guys are rotating in. If Marquise Goodwin, when they want three burners out there, Marquise Goodwin is out there, or Greg Ward in crucial situations, because we know how key he was on third downs last year. And of course, like, I mean, in the red zone, he scored a game-winning touchdown in a huge game against the Redskins. So sticking on Arcega-Whiteside, though, real quick. I will say I'm concerned, although he's going to be the favorite, his film last year was brutal, and there are reasons. Again, he was injured a lot last year. Carson Walsh is not a good developer of talent at wide receiver, if you ask me. They asked him to do a lot last year when there was a lot of the injuries. However, again, just basic things like route running, creating separation, the footwork. There were some crucial drops against the Lions, against the Redskins. I don't want to put all the blame on coaching and injuries. I think for a second-round pick, I needed more out of him, especially when they needed him. But again, his style is unique for this group. And like other receivers, he might just take an extra year or two to develop. Not everybody's going to be that 2014 draft class where they're studs outright. And I know a lot of the guys last year were, like DK Metcalf, you know, Mecole Hardman, Hollywood Brown even contributing when he was healthy. So, like, you know, Gino, I'm nervous. I'm more nervous than you are. But at the same time, I am holding out hope that with a new wide receiver coach, with a good bill of health this year, with deep threats to take the attention off JJ, I think there will be improvement, or at least I hope. And I think it's hard to not improve from last year.
Yeah, so kind of to this point, I'm like I said earlier, that we're kind of flipping this running back by committee to this wide receiver by committee. And Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network wrote a good article on it today saying that Boston Scott has the entire chance to be a true running back number two and become a star almost. And that kind of made me think that with the silence at running back, not signing one, that they might be okay just running with two backs, because now they have what they want in two running backs. And the only reason they kind of went by committee the last few years is because they had guys with different skill sets that other guys did not have. I mean, when you had Josh Adams, you had this guy that could really pick up those extra yards when you, I mean, not on short situations, but he was the only, like, true gap-style runner that they had outside of, like, Darren Sproles. And now you, at the wide receiver position, you're kind of in that same predicament as well. You don't have this true number one wide receiver. You have a lot of guys that do a lot of things well in their own right, and you just cycle them through there. I mean, now you have Miles Sanders and Boston Scott at running back who could kind of do a lot of different things very well, and you don't really have to rely on three or four backs. But at wide receiver, that's kind of a necessity because you don't have DeAndre Hopkins. You don't have Julio Jones. You don't have this true number one. But that's not a bad thing. Making teams guess at how matchups are going to be deployed is honestly one of the ways how you win games. Having a coach that is smarter than the other coach, knowing how to use his men and deploying them is huge. You talk about guys that you could throw in the slot position any given week simply based on matchups. You could throw a 6'2" JJ out there who's unbelievable at high pointing the football. It's a very physical style wide receiver. Or you throw Boston Scott in the slot, who's a guy that can win in option routes and win with leverage at the top of the stem and win off the release. And I think that's going to be huge for them because I think Doug Peterson, the last couple years when these injury settings hit, his offenses became very predictable. They need to add that unpredictability element to this offense, and I think what they have now is the perfect setup for them to do that because you really don't have to be pigeonholed into, okay, we're going to throw player X at the X receiver position and player Z, and we only have one true slot wide receiver. You have 9 guys that could, by all rights, make this roster and play a part on Sundays. I mean, I love where this wide receiver position is at now, and doing what they did in the draft, just bringing in more young guys that all add different elements is huge, and I think they're in a very good position, especially with a young Wentz, to kind of mold these guys moving forward.
Yeah, it's a matchup-based team now, Gino, and I'm not really, again, like they're not going to be just set where one guy's on the outside, another guy's opposite him, and mm-hmm. then you have a player inside. It's not going to be, you know, like back in the 2010s, you know, the early 2010s, you knew DeShaun Jackson and Macklin; those were your two outside receivers. Jason Avant was your slot guy, right?
Right. Every single play.
Yeah, you knew that. You knew that for like 4 or 5 years. Whereas now, like you're right, and hopefully Arthega Whiteside is that the receiver that gets the majority of the snaps as your third receiver. But there will be times where they want Rager, Jackson, and Goodwin out there, or maybe Watkins mm-hmm. or Hightower impress, and you want them out there again. Greg Ward was huge in crucial areas of football. Third down, red zone, he had the most reliable hands of any receiver on that team for 2 months. I think a wide receiver by committee approach is super interesting, and I'm not concerned they don't have like a legit wide receiver one, quote unquote. I mean, the Chiefs last year, Tyreek Hill's their number one, and he's very much like DeSean Jackson and Jalen Rager, and even the San Francisco 49ers, the Baltimore Ravens. There's not a lot of teams that, I don't know, I'm with you. I think the Eagles are kind of like those teams where they're going off of certain skill sets that they're focusing on now, rather than just like a receiver that can, I don't know, and not to say they can't do it all, because I don't know, man, I think Jalen Rager has that ability to be a wide receiver one for sure. Who do you feel best about to contribute right away next year? Like, of course, we hope it's Arthega Whiteside. The Eagles hope it's him. He's going to get the best chance. Do you feel best about him being the guy that if the season started tomorrow, he'd contribute? Because for me, that's Marquise Goodwin. And the fans actually think that as well. I put up a poll about this on Twitter. Goodwin got 54% of the votes on who would be your wide receiver three today. What about you?
So you're saying DeSean at one.
So yeah, let's say Jackson and Rager. Yeah, they're your two, you know, starters that are going to be on the field at all times, 12 personnel. But that third receiver, like right now, who do you feel best about contributing?
I mean, I would have to say probably JJ, but Goodwin makes a good point to be thrown in there. But it all depends on how they want to deploy DeSean too, because
sure, yeah.
I mean, ideally, you're not going to want to have, if you have DeSean in the slot, you're not going to want to have Goodwin on the outside. I mean, ideally, I would want to have JJ on the outside in that situation. But, I mean, if DeSean's on the outside, I would throw Marquise on the inside. And it's all matchup-based to me. But if I had to give you a firm answer, I'm going with probably JJ, I would have to say right now, simply because he provides you versatility as well. I mean, they wanted him to do a lot of those things, and I believe he will play both inside and outside next year. And to me, I know his skill set. I studied him. I will not get off that hill. I will never get off that hill. I will be at Helm's Deep like they were in the second Lord of the Rings, just waiting for Gandalf and the Riders of Rohan to just come over the mountain, and that's going to be everybody getting back on the JJ bandwagon when he comes out in the first few weeks and has like three or four red zone touchdowns. And I just firmly believe he's going to turn around, man. Like, you saw those flashes he had, and that's what I saw at Stanford. And I'm telling you guys, just be patient. Like, just be patient. He's only 1 year into the league. Like you said, Lou, every wide receiver doesn't have the same developmental curve, especially when you have Carson Walsh as your wide receivers coach. It just doesn't always work like that. And sometimes you have Mike Groh trying to get you into your offense, and you don't always have Andy Reid and just his great group of minds over there in Kansas City. Like, sometimes it doesn't always work like that. Yeah. I think it sets up perfectly for JJ to kind of take this as his own. But don't get me wrong, man. If Greg Ward is your slot receiver, I firmly believe he presents you a good advantage in those 6 to 9 nice yard areas. John Hightower, I even believe, could be a guy that is in that area that plays between those reduced splits in the slot. I think everybody that they have in this building has a chance to be part of this committee and contribute. And that's why it's hard to put like a firm number at like who's going to be number three. Like, the only way I would break it down is probably based on snaps, which we would probably have to see at the end of the season. And I mean, it's just going to be all matchup based. Like, there could be a game when you see JJ play 45 snaps, and there might be a game you see him play 18 snaps. Who knows? I think that could be said about any other wide receiver that's not named Rager or Jackson.
For me, again, I hope my mindset is the same as yours come August, September, and I'm feeling more optimistic about Arthego Whiteside. But for now, I would say, like, if I had one guess as to who would be the player I think they can rely on the most for the third most snaps of wide receiver, I think it would be Marquise Goodwin. But even when I say that, I don't know, man, considering JJ's question marks, considering Goodwin's health issues, he's never stayed healthy outside of 2017.
Right.
And when he did stay healthy in Kyle Shanahan's offense, he almost hit 1,000 yards. So that's where my mindset is. But with those two question marks, I do think it also could leave the door open for Greg Ward to be that guy again, or John Hightower, or Quez Watkins. So it's an interesting kind of just merry-go-round of wide receiver three, right? It's kind of pick your poison with the style you want. Although we say that, I would be pretty disappointed during the season if there's games where Arthego Whiteside is only getting like 10 to 15 snaps. For me, like, you took him in the second round to not be just a piece of a committee approach. Like, right. I hope that he
I'm
gives
saying,
them
like,
a
that's
reason.
Like the,
no,
the
I understand.
Probably worst case scenario.
Sure.
But,
like,
I mean,
hope he gives
hopefully
you a reason.
He dominates and he's out
yes.
there for every single matchup. Like,
yeah,
ideally,
exactly.
That's what you want.
No, for sure. That's what I'm saying. Is like, I hope, and again, like, wide receiver three by committee could really work. I just hope that Arthego Whiteside doesn't give them a reason to take that approach. But it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be super interesting. We got to hit one quick break, and then we'll wrap up this edition of Locked On Eagles. Who will be wide receiver three? Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, guys, welcome back. Louis DiBiase here and Gino Camilleri on this Friday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, talking about the wide receiver position. Who's going to be that third guy next to DeSean Jackson and Jalen Rager? We asked you on Twitter. Here are the poll results. Marquise Goodwin wins at 54.7%. Greg Ward actually in second at 24.8%. Gino, not a lot of optimism yet with Arthego Whiteside like you have at 17.5%, but hopefully they get there because he improves. Hightower / Watkins, 2.9%. I will say, although those two like have the longest road to get those snaps, man, I think we're both much higher. Like, let's compare them to the other two receivers they took late in a draft a couple years ago with Matt Collins and Shelton Gibson. Like, I'm way higher on this combo than that combo, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, both of these guys. I mean, Matt Collins said it best himself. He doesn't want to be a wide receiver.
Yeah, he wants
never
to be a special teamer.
A he said it himself. And Shelton Gibson, I think that one, I forgot who wrote that article. Might have been Tim McManus at ESPN, but the first quote was, it was Howie Roseman, and somebody said, he can't catch. And then Howie says, who, Shelton? And the guy goes, yup. And Howie goes, well, that's not good. So at least these two guys can catch. I mean, John Hightower does have a little bit of hands questions at the point of attack when guys are physical on him. But to me, as route runners, as guys that can do what you need for this offense, they excel. I mean, remember when people thought Matt Collins was going to come in and be our deep threat?
Like that was a good time in history. Yeah. Like John Hightower and Quez Watkins and Goodwin and Rager, those guys can actually do that. And to me, the reason I think Hightower has a chance to kind of be the have a leg in this race is that he really does do well in those reduced split and slot alignments. If you look at his success rates, according to Sports Info Solutions, that's really where he did best. And he did best against zone, where he could kind of read those two-way goes, read the leverage. And that's what a lot of the slot play in this Eagles team does. I mean, ideally, you don't want to be having guys win off the line in the slot, but hopefully you don't have to rely on that. You can rely on guys getting down the field, and I think they're going to kind of try and make that their offense, and that's hopefully what you see from your slot receiver, somebody who can win in those probably, I'd say, 12-yard areas consistently. Like what Aguilar did in 2017, ideally that's what you want your slot receiver to be doing consistently.
No, that's a great point, and I think there's a lot of players on this roster. Rager, Jackson, even Goodwin, I mean, I think everyone they have on this roster, Ward, Hightower, Watkins, they can play inside. So again, I'm not really concerned about like who's going to be that slot wide receiver, because I think everybody's going to have a role in that, and not just the receivers, but the tight ends and the running backs as well. It'll be fun, man. I know you were high on John Hightower throughout the draft process. I really liked Quez Watkins, so I don't know. Maybe we'll come up with a bet of some sort, you know, during training camp to see which one of these guys makes the roster.
Hopefully they both do, man.
Yeah, right.
I think you can get a lot out of both of them. Like Quez is kind of a guy that you can get him on jet sweeps going, like you can use him in those kind of areas that even you don't even need to use him as a receiver right away.
Well, and he made some crazy plays in traffic too at Southern Miss. Like there were some plays in double coverage, like body control going up for passes. Like I know we talk about his 4.3 speed, but he made some wild catches as well. Those hands are pretty good.
Yeah, they're not bad. And I'm saying, like, to me, like even if with the short off season, even with the whole coronavirus thing, like he's a guy that you just want to get him in space and he can win to that degree. And I think a lot of the burden is going to be taken off of these wide receivers because they win in those areas. You look at last year, it was just slow plodding wideouts that could not get separation, and they were trying to square peg and round hole again, do these things with those style of players that just didn't work. But now you have those guys that can separate, even if they aren't the best route runners in the world, which Jalen Rager has route running questions, John Hightower has route running questions.
Quez Watkins definitely does too.
Quez Watkins definitely does, but hey, look who's there teaching them. Marquise Goodwin, DeSean Jackson, two of the best to ever do it.
Yep.
In that degree of being that Ferrari-type player that we talk about and kind of retooling themselves to becoming those good route runners. And I think that's what it's going to take, and all of those guys have a chance to do that. So, man, I mean, they could carry, they'll probably definitely carry six wide receivers, but hey, if they only keep two running backs, maybe they keep seven wide receivers and kind of play that seventh wide receiver, maybe a Quez Watkins, get him 5 to 7 touches a game somehow in handoff situations like they do with Aguilar last year, jet sweeps. I mean, it's going to be a fully matchup-based team moving forward next year, especially at the receiver position. And frankly, I love it. It just brings so much unpredictability, bringing in Scangarello and all these guys that come from differing mindsets and aren't just this groupthink that the Eagles have had for so long. It's just going to be fresh. It's going to be just an invigorated offense, and it's going to be nice to see for once.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the depth this wide receiver group has, the explosiveness they provide. It'll be a lot of fun to see what this competition does in the summer. Because, again, you know about DeSean Jackson. You know what you got. Well, you know what you're going to deploy with Jalen Rager. Like, those two are set in stone to me. And then it'll be fun to watch these other, you know, five receivers, maybe six. We'll see what happens with Alshon Jeffrey as well. So there's a lot of question marks, but there's a lot of optimism at the position as well. Louis DiBiase here joining you alongside Gino Camilleri on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Make sure to subscribe on any podcast platform. We're also available on LockedOnEagles.com, and we're always talking birds on Twitter as well. So let us know what you think. You guys helped out on the poll. Really appreciate you guys doing that. You guys think Marquise Goodwin's going to be wide receiver 3, so we'll see how that works out. But keep talking to us about it on Twitter, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.